Good morning, everyone. Good to see you this morning. I want to talk about the person of the Holy Spirit this morning. I began attending the Christian church in 1969. I became friends with the minister's son, and he invited me. And I left the church when I was about 16, turned and walked the other way. I don't believe I actually was saved till February 1984. And as I began reading the Bible for myself, I was like the Ephesian believers that Paul met. I didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. Now, I have read some on the Restoration Movement, and Alexander Campbell and Barton Stone, who were the spearheads, both agreed they didn't know if they believed in the person of the Holy Spirit, if they were sure about it. And I think that's sad. And I don't mean it as a put down against the Christian church and churches of Christ, but there's a lot of misconceptions about who the Holy Spirit is. After I got saved, I attended a Pentecostal church for 3 years. That was an eye opener. I mean, I got a double dose of what they believed, you know, about the Holy Spirit. I attended several different churches, and I realized over the years there were godly people in all those churches, and there were people who didn't have a clue. So I don't judge denominations. I do judge doctrine. I've heard a lot of hype and phoniness about the Holy Spirit. I've heard a lot of misconception about the Holy Spirit. And today I just want to endeavor to talk about what the Word of God says about the Holy Spirit, because that should be our final authority, not dogma. So if you'll bear with me today, we're going to be in John chapter 16, verses 1 through 15, and I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you, Father, for those who have gathered this morning to hear your word, and I pray, Lord, that I will decrease, that you might increase, that you will bring this word to our hearts, help us to understand and apply it to our lives, and help us to see our desperate need to have your spirit living within us. In Jesus' name I ask it, amen. All right, Jesus said, I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judge. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. We're first introduced to the Holy Spirit in the creation account of Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Under the old covenant, only a select few of men and women were filled with the Spirit of God. An example from Exodus 35, when Moses was being instructed how God wanted the tabernacle and the furnishings made. It says, "Then Moses said to the people of Israel, 'See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, with intelligence, with knowledge, and with all craftsmanship.'" The prophets who spoke and wrote the words of God were filled with the Spirit of God. The prophet Isaiah spoke of the coming Messiah. He said, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins." When Jesus revealed himself to the Israelites in Nazareth, he quoted the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." God also promised through the prophet Joel, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days, I will pour out my Spirit." This fulfills what the prophet Jeremiah spoke about the new covenant, when God said, "I will write my laws in their minds and in their hearts." Now, I've heard some say, "Well, the Holy Spirit embodies the Word of God. The Holy Spirit embodies the people of God, not His Word. He is the author of the Word." This is the Holy Spirit that Jesus was talking about in today's text. You know, if you're familiar with the passage, he dropped a bombshell on his disciples and he said, "I'm going away." Now, they had been taught that the Messiah would sit on the throne of David and rule forever. He had told them at least three times he would be crucified, buried, and raised, and they couldn't get a hold of that because they thought Messiah couldn't die. And so they were struggling with these things that the Lord had told them. They told him they believed he was the Messiah, but they couldn't get their mind around what the prophets had written. And when Jesus, you remember when he went into Jerusalem, what's called the triumphal entry, it said the people were waving their coats, laying them on the ground, waving palm branches, and shouting Hosanna, which means save now. Blessed is the King of Israel. I think Jesus' 12, his inner circle, really thought this is it. He's going to ascend to the throne and we'll be his cabinet members. He's going to drive Rome out and establish the kingdom that God has promised on the earth. But they did not understand his mission. They had left everything to follow him. Peter mentioned that once when the Lord was talking to them. He said, "We've left everything to follow you." They walked away from their businesses. They walked away from their families. And for 3 years they had been with this rabbi. They had been taught by him. They had seen his miracles. They were amazed at the things that he did in the name of God. And they thought, this is it. Well, then he tells them, "I'm going away." And in another passage, he said, "Where I'm going, you can't come with me now, but you'll come later." So his men were devastated. I would think that they probably thought, what do we do now? We've been following you for 3 years. We've walked away from everything. And now you're going to leave? But Jesus made an assurance to them and to his disciples today that he said, I'm not leaving you alone. The passage I read to you, he said, it's expedient. It's good for you that I go away. Well, they couldn't see that, but then he explained it to them. He said, if I don't go away, I can't send the helper. The Greek word there is paraklete, a counselor, one who comes beside, comes to your assistance. And Jesus said, if I don't go, I can't send him. Now, as I said, there's been a lot of hype about the Holy Spirit, a lot of misinformation and pure ignorance. And what I want to do today is look and see what Jesus had to say about the Spirit. I've heard some say, well, the Holy Spirit's just God's power manifested. Well, you can't lie to power. And yet Peter accused Ananias and his wife of trying to lie to the Holy Spirit. Electricity is power. You can't lie to electricity. It has to be a person in order for you to try to deceive them. When I say a person, I'm not talking about flesh and bone. I'm talking about the personhood of the Spirit of God. You cannot grieve electricity. And yet Paul warned the Christians of his day, do not grieve the Spirit of God. Thus the Holy Spirit has emotions. He has to be a person. Now, I believe in the Trinity. I know there's some that don't, and they say, I don't understand the concept of the Trinity. The word's not in the Bible, so I don't believe it. I don't understand E equals MC square, but I believe in it because I've seen the pictures of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. That's Einstein's theory of relativity. Energy equals the speed of light times mass squared. I couldn't tell you for 1 minute what that means, but I believe in it. And the people that are non-Trinitarian, I like to say, what do you do with the book of Revelation? John said, I saw the seven spirits of God before the throne. Not just three, seven. Well, I don't believe in that because I don't understand it. That's fine. But the scriptures speak of three distinct persons, one God. God the Father, God the Word, God the Holy Ghost. And the disciples were walking with God the Word. Jesus put a face on God. God told Moses, no one can see my face and live. But when he sent the Word, he sent his Son to us. That was God in the flesh. So God, if you can permit me to say this, he had to tone down so he could talk to these people and look them in the eye. And his men professed that they were convinced he was the promised Messiah, and he said, now I got to leave. But he said, it's good for you that I go away. God had promised through the prophets that one day his Spirit would live within the heart of his people. He said through the prophet Jeremiah, no longer will people teach each other and say, you know, you need to know the Lord because they will know me. I will write my law in their minds and in their hearts. This is done through the person, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul said that the Holy Spirit is the spirit of adoption, whereby the Christian can cry out, Abba, Father. He went on to say that if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they don't belong to Christ. Now, am I talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? That freaks people out, especially in the Restoration Church. That's weird. You know, the charismaniacs say the evidence of that is the speaking in other tongues. I assure you that is dogma. That is not scriptural doctrine. The evidence of a person being filled with the Holy Spirit is a changed life. The evidence of a person being filled with the Holy Spirit is they know God. They know Jesus Christ. You remember Paul said, without the Spirit, you can't call Christ Lord. Because if you do not have the Spirit of God within you, you won't receive the things of God. You won't receive what the Word says. You won't receive anything the Holy Spirit says to you. Do I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Yes. Those of you I baptized on June 2nd, I'll say to you what John the Baptist said to the people. I baptized you with water. But Jesus Christ is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit and fire. Yeah. Well, brother, that goes against the doctrine of our church. So sad, too bad. It doesn't go against Scripture. Are you saying I got to speak in tongues and flop around like a chicken with his head cut off? No. The Bible doesn't say that. See, that's the difference between dogma and doctrine. The Bible is a book of doctrine, not dogma. Dogma comes from men. Do I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Yes. Well, we believe they died with the apostles. Then the Holy Spirit's dead. If that's what you're saying the Holy Spirit's dead? He's not dead. He's alive and well. Why don't we see the manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Because I think we can't be trusted with it, to be honest with you. Most Christians cannot be trusted with that kind of power. And I've heard the theological arguments and debates, you know, and we no longer need that. I heard one preacher, Christian Kirk, preach, so we got the Bible now. They didn't have the Bible. Well, yeah, they did. They had the Old Testament. Paul and John and Luke and Matthew and those guys, they wrote the New Testament, but they still had the Old Testament. And if you look at the Old Testament, the early church fathers marveled and said, it is full of Jesus Christ. How did they know that? Because the person of the Holy Spirit was in them and he opened their minds to understand Scripture. We need the Spirit of Christ. Paul said he was the mind of Christ. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will reveal the truth to you, all of the truth. He will take things that are mine and show them to you. Well, we think that all died with the apostles. Well, then you're in trouble. Has God stopped revealing truth to his people? No. I've been reading this book for 40 years, and I see something new in it all the time. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. I think as we need to know, as times arise in our lives, maybe troubles and trials, and we're struggling, we'll see things in Scripture we never saw. And I think it's because God says, now you need to know this. The person of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who brings you and I to maturity. Not against our will, by consent of our will. The Holy Spirit does not get you in a headlock and force you to comply. And some churches actually teach that. Well, God's will is all sovereign and you don't have any will. Baloney. All you got to do is go back to the third chapter of Genesis to find out God created us with a free will. Is God sovereign? Yes. Whatever God says goes. Jesus revealed himself in Revelation. He said, I'm the one who closes doors and no one can open, and I open them and no one can close. That's all sovereign. But God is not going to force you against your will to love him and to follow him. Obedience is a free will choice. Jesus told his church then, I know you don't want me to leave. I don't blame those guys. If I'd have been there, I'd have probably been saying, well, then take me with you. If you're going, I want to go. I don't want to stay here without you. But Jesus said, you need me to go away. because if I don't go away, I can't send the helper. In the Gospel of John, it said Jesus stood up at one of the feasts and he said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. And I will give him living water. And that living water will spring up into him as a river of life. It said he spoke this about the Holy Spirit, who had not been given yet because Jesus had not yet been glorified. He told his men earlier in John, he said, look, the Holy Spirit's with you now. He's on the earth now. That's what I believe when Paul said in Thessalonians, he who now lets will let until he be taken out of the way. God's Spirit is here as a restraining force. He's the one that keeps the devil towing the line and saying, you can't go over here. But the scriptures say there comes a time that God will pull his Spirit off the earth. And I think the Lord's going to look at the devil and say, do your worst. You want to be a God? Have at it. Do the worst that you can do. You better hope if you're here, Christian, that you have the Holy Spirit. I said I've been in a lot of different churches. And one thing that I have to give God complete credit for, he's kept me out of cults. I've heard some good sounding preaching and the Spirit of God say, no, that's not me. That's not the word. Next week I want to talk about false prophets. And we're ate up with them. But you know what, church, that isn't new. They had them in Israel. They were the plague of Israel. They brought about the downfall of Israel. And we got a lot of them in the churches today. Men and women saying, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord wasn't the one that said it. That's another reason you need the Holy Spirit. Jesus said he will bear witness to you about all the truth. When I first got saved, a good friend of mine was bringing me ministry tapes. She meant very well. She tied to this ministry. And this guy, boy, he could preach. Sounded good. But I was just silly enough. I was reading my Bible and along with what he said to see, is this what the Bible says? And before long, I realized this guy isn't preaching the truth. He's preaching good sounding messages. But I saw that he was twisting the Word of God to say something it wasn't. Do I take the credit for that? No, it was the Spirit of Christ within me. How many of you don't want to teach your children the truth? How many of you, if you have children and they come home from school maybe and say, the teacher said this, and it hits you wrong, how many of you don't set your children down and say, now wait a minute, honey, that's not true? If you don't, shame on you. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. Do you want to know the truth? We live in a confusing time, but it's not a new time. I was praying the other day, and I told the Lord, I live in a country that calls evil good and good evil. They call darkness light and light darkness. How do I know that? Because I have the Spirit. The Spirit of Christ bears witness with me that this is what's going on. I don't watch news much anymore, but when I do, I hear the ignorance coming out of people's mouths, and I think, Lord, how can they say such things? How can they feel that way? Jesus answered the question, because they don't know God. I remember a lady and I were talking a few years ago, and I said, you know, they talk about a lot about evolution and progression. I said, I don't see our society progressing. I see it digressing. It's becoming barbaric and pagan. And she said, isn't that scary? I said, scary, but not unpredictable. Mom and Dad, you're responsible to teach your children the truth. Teach them the word. Not the ideas of the world. The world says, well, you were born that way. You can't help it. The world says, well, that's your opinion, and it's right for you, but it's not right for me. That's relativism. The scriptures don't teach that. That's what I love about God. It's black and white. And I've had people over the years say, well, now, Rick, there are gray matters. Not in the Word. God said, this is right, this is wrong. I'm glad God is a God who is truthful and He does not change. Because for somebody as simple as me, that takes confusion out of the equation. When I can read His Word and He said, this is wrong, I hate this and I love this, I don't have to analyze it and question and say, well, God, cultures change. People feel this way. I don't care how people feel. I don't care what culture says. I love my nation, but I believe we're headed for judgment, church. You don't slaughter 60 million innocent children and be free from the consequences of that. God said, those who shed innocent blood, I will not hold guiltless. Is it too late for this nation? I don't think it is. If God's people would get on their face before God and begin to pray for revival, true revival, that comes through the filling of the Holy Spirit. Conviction of sin, Jesus said, comes through the Holy Spirit. Conviction of righteousness comes through the Holy Spirit. Judgment comes through the person of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? He's not here to glorify Himself. I saw a lot of sideshows in the Pentecostal church where they actually tried to glorify the Holy Spirit and His gifts. David Wilkerson was a Pentecostal minister. Before he died, I read an article that he wrote called The Christless Pentecost. And he had a strong rebuke for his Pentecostal brothers. He said the Holy Spirit isn't here to put on a show. He's not here to glorify Himself or His gifts. Jesus said He's here to glorify God. Jesus said He doesn't speak on His own authority. He doesn't make it up as He goes. Whatever He hears. Church, the Holy Spirit is a direct communication from God to you and I. But you have a free will. You can choose to listen to Him or to say no. And sadly, I see a lot of people do that. And I hear it in words like, well, I know the Bible says, but. That's a dangerous word, Christian, when you're talking about the Word. I remember when I first started teaching here, when I came back in 2002, I was asked to teach Sunday school, and I was talking to the Sunday school class. I said, yeah, you know, the Lord said to me, and they all just looked at me like I'd fell out of a tree, and they looked at one another like, God talks to this guy. So I spoke to the pastor after the service. I said, did I say something wrong? He said, well, they've been taught that if a man says the Lord said to me, that it's kind of, it could be attached to a cult, and it's kind of scary. I said, you know, it scares me that he doesn't talk to them. I've never had a burning bush experience. I've never had a road to Damascus experience, but God has knocked me off my high horse a few times. The Holy Spirit speaks to you in here, church, and He speaks to you through the Word. Remember what Jesus said? He'll take the truth, the things that are mine, and He'll show them to you. He's the Spirit of truth. This book is the truth. And He's not going to take you down and jam it down your throat. It's up to you to read it. What did Paul say to the church at Rome? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. But it's up to you to read it. I don't care if it's the ESV, the ASB, the NIV, the King James, the New King James. Read it. Pray over it. Ask God to reveal the truth, and if the Spirit of Christ is in you, He will. I remember one guy got all excited one time, a guy had led to Christ, and he said, I found a passage in Jeremiah against Christmas trees. I said, really? And he took me to Jeremiah, and he read it, and I said, now wait a minute. There wasn't even Christmas when Jeremiah wrote this book. I said, let's you and I sit down together and go over the whole context of the passage. Jeremiah was talking about idols. Actually, God was speaking about idols to Jeremiah. And he said that the craftsmen, they cut down the tree and they shape it and they deck it with silver and gold. He goes, see, deck it silver and gold. Deck the halls with boughs of holly. And I very patiently sat down with him and I said, brother, you're pulling this out of context and making a pretext out of it, and you're wrong. I said, this is not what the Spirit of God is teaching. Well, he got offended at first. Are you saying I don't have the Spirit of God? I said, no, I'm saying you're a baby Christian and you're ignorant of the context of this passage. Jeremiah was not talking about Christmas trees. But what bothers me is years later in the church, I've had professed people who's been Christian for years try to use that passage. Oh, we shouldn't have trees in the church because Jeremiah said, are you serious? The Holy Spirit didn't teach you that. Now, this isn't a put down, but the Holy Spirit didn't reveal that to you. The Spirit of God would not contradict the Word. The Spirit of God does not pull the Word out of context to make it say something it doesn't. We desperately need the Spirit of Christ in each of our hearts within this church. If the Spirit of Christ is not here, all we are is a fraternity, the social club. Get together and sing a few hymns and hope that Rick will bring a message, you know, and hope Sunday school goes well. You don't have to take anything I say as absolute truth. Go home and read the Word. I invite you to do that. When I bring a text, when I teach, when I talk to you, go home and read the text. See if what I'm saying is true. That's why so many Christians are being misled today. They don't read the Word. Well, the preacher said it, so it must be true. Wait a minute, there's a lot of false preachers out there. There's a lot of false prophets out there. There are people that are twisting the Word of God for monetary gain, and you better be in touch with God to find out if they're speaking the truth or if they're speaking lies. How do you do that? Through the person of the Holy Spirit. I'm glad that God filled me with His Spirit. And I want to say to you as a brother in Christ, seek that. Jesus said God desires to give the Spirit to those who ask. Seek Him. Get humble with God and say, I need your Spirit within me. God, I'm ignorant, I'm blind. I can be deceived easily. Fill me with your Spirit and God will fill you. Well, what about speaking tongues? Big deal. You're not talking to men. Talk to God. If He's going to give you that, He'll give you that. Now, that might seem a little facetious depending on what background you come from. I don't believe the manifestation of the Spirit is speaking in other tongues. I know our assembly's brothers and sisters believe that. But you know, I can still call them brother and sister because that's dogma and I recognize the difference between dogma and doctrine. What's the manifestation of the Spirit of Christ? A changed life. That's the manifestation of the Spirit of Christ. Don't let that scare you, church, when we speak of the Holy Spirit. You can say, well, I believe the gifts of the Spirit died with the apostles. That's all right. I can still get along with you. Where I'm going to have a problem with you or anyone else, if they say, well, the Holy Spirit's only God's power. You know, He's not a person. I got a problem with that. And I would challenge you to read the Scriptures and find out what they say. Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you need Him. You need His guidance. Paul said He's the deposit from God. The King James says the earnest of our inheritance. When you buy property and you put a down payment on it in the real estate papers, it's called an earnest. And that Ernest is saying, I promise to pay this note. And Paul said, the Holy Spirit is given by God to us as a deposit to guarantee that he's going to do what he said he'll do. He's going to finish the work in us and mold us into the image of Jesus Christ. Who doesn't want that? If you don't call yourself a Christian. If you don't want to be molded in the image of Jesus Christ, why are you here? You know, you could be at the lake right now. Some of you may be wishing you were. Don't be afraid of the Spirit of God. I need him. You need him. I believe not only in the infilling of the Holy Spirit, I believe in the ongoing infilling of the Holy Spirit. Paul said to the Ephesians, be being filled. I've been a Christian 40 years, and I still pray, God, fill me with your Spirit. I need your Spirit. When you get in the mindset that I can do this on my own, you are headed for a fall, a hard fall. Would you stand with me this morning? I'm done. This isn't to badger or to beat you, to try to talk you into anything that goes against your will. What I'm trying to do this morning is talk about what does the Bible say about the Holy Spirit? Do we need the Holy Spirit? Jesus thought we did. Still thinks we do. Whoever has our closing prayer, would you please close for us?